outlined in the bulletin this morning. If you, have received one, you're very welcome to follow along. Many times I'll ask my brethren to look around, especially for those who are visiting with us. Sometimes they may have not received one when they came in. The title of the lesson is What Jesus Saw in Four Men. Or when Jesus saw their faith. From the text that was read to us this morning, somewhat of a familiar story. In chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, we find Jesus performing many, many miracles. There are probably half a dozen or more that are specifically stated. And because of what Jesus was doing, he gathered a crowd. People flocked to where he was because of all the miracles that he was doing. And now the lesson tells us of a time when Jesus is at a place and, boy, a lot of folks gathered around. And then while Jesus is here in this house with all the crowd gathered around, four men came. And they bring on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And because they couldn't gain entry, verse 4 of the text that was read, said they uncovered the roof where he was, meaning where Jesus was. When they'd broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy or the man that's paralyzed lay. I can imagine that got a lot of attention. We've heard of people crashing a party before. Sometimes people, you know, gain interest to where there's a group or a crowd and they weren't invited. Perhaps that's what was going through the minds of a lot of people that are there. Where did this person come from? May even thought, why didn't I think of that? Get close to Jesus by breaking open the roof and let a man down. But in verse 5, Jesus saw their faith, the faith of these four men who let down the one who was paralyzed with the sick of the palsy. Jesus said to this man, to this distraction that just took place, there's a huge crowd, and perhaps they all had their questions and were kind of quizzing Jesus or wanting more information, and Jesus stops the attention from the crowd and focuses on the man that's been let down through the roof. Wow. Saw their faith. He said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And as the story continues, they cared enough to overcome any obstacle to bring a sick friend to Jesus for healing. Now you look at the obstacles. I'll put these in your notes. Many were gathered. In other words, here they come, these four people with their sick friend, they come and they might have said, "Oh, look, there's a crowd. Let's go back home." Sorry, friend. No. They saw the crowd, but it was still the attitude, "Let's see what we can do." So after perhaps bumping up against the many that were gathered, the next obstacle it is, and the text says, there was no room to receive them. They're probably thinking, this is a bigger crowd than I thought. There's more here than I could imagine from where we saw them, from where we were before. Let's try over here. And then the next phrase is, no, not so much as about the door. So here they're bringing their friend to Jesus. Look at the obstacles. Oh, there's a crowd. Well, we brought our friend here to get healed. Let's get closer. Oh, there's no room. Not even about the door. Let's go home. No. Didn't say that. Or someone say, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. When you start looking at the obstacles and you focus on the obstacles, you take your eye off the goal. Doesn't mean you can't see the obstacles, that you don't know they're there, but you want to overcome them. Don't take your eye off the goal. I remember many years ago, 25 years ago, I was getting wanted to go back to school to get my teaching credential. That's my goal. I'm going to become a school teacher. They said, "Oh, Brian, you know what? To get a credential in California, you have to go back to school a fifth year." Oh, man, an obstacle. Alright. Classes meet twice a week and once a month on a Saturday, once a month. Oh, man. The classes meet in Mission Valley. Oh, me. Obstacle after obstacle. I have to drive that far too. All I want is a teaching credential. But you don't take your eyes off the goal. If all I saw were the obstacles, I wouldn't have a teaching credential. That was what these men saw. They had their eyes on the goal. I'm going to get my friend to Jesus. The obstacles didn't stop their care. They didn't quit too soon. When I finally got my teaching credential and had to go back and get another one because I had to get special ed credential because no one was hiring K-8 teachers at the time. Oh, another obstacle. I want to teach. Alright, so I went through that fifth year and did all that student teaching and everything else and subbed in the daytime. Oh, I want to get a, now I have to get a special ed credential to get hired. Oh, two more years. Two nights a week. One Saturday a month. Go to San Diego State. There's no parking. But I got the credential. Hired. Now I got the job in Kearney Mesa. Of my children's hospital. 17 miles. 805 north. In the rush hour. The goal. The obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. These four men said, "I'm going to bring my friend to Jesus." There's a crowd. Let's get closer. Oh, we can't. There's too many about the door. Let's do something else. Can't get through. What are we going to do? Somebody said, "I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care." So they care. But second, you know, Jesus saw, and he wants to see this in us. He saw four men who tried to bring someone to him. These four men didn't let the obstacles stop them. They tried everything. Then they tried another way. You ever hear this phrase? If at first you don't succeed, try again. See, even the obstacles, you'll stop. So here you have these four men who cared, and they kept trying. Verse 4, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they'd broken it up, they let down the bed where in the thick of the palsy lay. That had to create a mess. Can you imagine that? What if somebody came in today and they wanted to get in here and there's all this crowd and they don't let it break through the roof? Then you start hearing that thump, 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 or however they crash through. But they literally crashed that party. I'll bet the homeowner said, who's going to clean this up? There's probably a lot of talk in the crowd, in the group. Maybe the four friends promised the homeowner, we'll come back when the party's dispersed and help you clean up. But they wouldn't stop until they exhausted every opportunity. I had a sign in my classroom, I put that in your bulletin. It's not original with me, I saw it someplace else. But when you teach students that are moderate and severe handicapped, this is a measure of success. So when I saw this slogan, or whatever it was, I made a copy or a reprint and put it by my door. You know, triumph, definition is try with a little umph behind it. That's how we measure success in special education, was the effort. Because many times the finished product, you think, that's really not very nice to look at. But we didn't measure, the finished product wasn't the measure, it was the effort that they put into it. Because many times that's all they could do was just make an effort. In my classroom, I had those who were sick of the palsy. That's what Jesus wants to see in us. That we care and that we try. Put my poem in your notes. Edgar Guest. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so until he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done, thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. That's kind of what this lesson is. Well, Jesus wants to see in us people that care and people that try. Number three, Jesus saw four men who worked together to bring someone to him. Even in my classroom, I couldn't do that by myself. I had at least two aides, many times more aides, depending on the severity of the disability of the number of children. Couldn't do that by myself. Work together. And you look at verses 3 and 4 of the text that was read to us, and the word they is found five times. They. You know, if they each went their own way, the palsied man would have been left palsy. If they couldn't work it out together, the palsied man would have suffered for it. No one of the four men could have brought the palsied man to Jesus. It took the four. It took them working together. Cooperating. Finding the solution. And that's illustrated in a lot of ways, even in life. You know, we talk about the strength in numbers. The strength of unity. I remember this old story. The story of John Brody. He was a famous quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers years and years ago. And he's being interviewed by a sports writer. And at that time, when they're playing football, the quarterback, at least in this situation, John Brody, held the football for the extra point. So a reporter asked him one time, why does a high-priced quarterback hold the ball on the extra point play? Brody replied, because if I didn't, the ball would fall over. See, it doesn't matter who we are. No matter whatever job we do in the congregation, if we're called upon for that, it's what we do. The strength of unity, the strength of numbers. You wrap a single thread around your finger, you probably break it. Around your wrist, you break it. But the more times you wrap that thread, even as small as a tiny thread is, a number of times, it's harder to break. Same thing with us. The more we work together, the greater opportunity for the task to be done. The more we work in unity, the more we care, the more we try, the more we work together, the more that are brought and are kept safe. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, the eye cannot, and he likened the congregation to physical body. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. See, in the physical body, the eye does what the eye does, the eye sees. The hand does what it does. The hand doesn't do what the eye does. The eye can't do what the hand does. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Neither can any one of us say to another, I don't need you. So we need part of this, these four men in Jesus seeing their faith, he saw them working together. He saw all four that cared, all four that tried, all four that worked together. And in Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant, oh yes, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. And then the last one, number four. Jesus saw four men who demonstrated their faith and brought the one to Jesus. Now, we can say, oh, Brian, I'm a caring person. We can say, I try. But we need all of these together, so now let's work together. Maybe I can't do it on my own. Will you help me? Will you help me do whatever this task is? And then we want to demonstrate it. It says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, not just the faith of one, saw their faith, you know, in bringing that friend to him, the man that they brought received the blessing that they were seeking. Thy sins be forgiven. Take up your bed and go home. Walk away from here. See, our faith needs to be seen. Needs to be demonstrated. In John chapter 1, verse 40, and one of the two which heard John speak, meaning John the Baptist, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon and says to him, we found the Messiah, is being interpreted to Christ, and brought him to Jesus. You know, there John the Baptist had a part in that. Yep, and the others. See, I need to go find, I'm going to share what I have and go find my brother and bring him to Jesus. In Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. But we don't want just the one or another to say that. We want the redeemed of the Lord to say so. Because if all of us who are redeemed say so, we work together in this. In Acts 4, verse 20, Peter and John said, the magistrate says, don't talk like that, meaning preach. Said, but Peter and John, we can't but speak the things that we've seen and heard. And if all of us did that, working together. In Acts 8, verse 4, when the persecution scattered the brethren away from Jerusalem, those that were persecuted, those that were scattered, went everywhere preaching the word. You see, these four men didn't need Jesus to heal them. They were healthy. But they brought the one who needed to be healed to Jesus. Same with us. In our missionary efforts, in our evangelism, it may take more than just one or two. It involves so many more of us to bring one to Jesus. We who have already been baptized, we who are already members of the New Testament Church, we who are Christians, we've been healed. Now we need to bring those who are sin sick to Jesus for Jesus to, in a sense, say to them, your sins are forgiven. Now walk. Grow in grace and knowledge. Christians who are saved by grace through faith need to keep telling the story. Keep telling the good news that there's a great physician to heal the sin sick. That's the lesson. So I put in closing in your notes, Jesus still looks for brethren who care for the lost. Try to bring them in. Work together for the cause. Work together. And we'll bring others to Jesus. If you're not here this morning, not a member of the New Testament Church, never been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this morning. You've heard the good news message. You believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You're willing to turn your life around. You're willing to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. You can be baptized for remission of sin. Rise to walk in newness of life, brand new in God's sight. From that point on, then we begin to grow in our faith, in grace,